My name is Quan Gang Ren. Good afternoon. So I'm from Penn State University. And today I'm going to talk about toward discovering and understanding task hijacking Android. And this work is collaborated with Yu Longzhang, Hui Xue, Tao Wei from FireEye, and Peng Liu from Penn State. So in the PC world, multitasking means that multiple processes are running at the same period of time. In a mobile platform like in Android, however, in order to adapt the user experience to a much smaller screen, multitasking is a very different concept. As defined by the Android developer documentation, an Android task is a collection of activities that users have interacted with when performing a certain job. Say, here is a user interacting with a few user interfaces in time series. And in Android, each of these user interfaces is called an activity. And the task is a series of these activities that user have interacted with. Note that the activity may come from different applications, come from different applications. For example, in this case, clicking the URL in activity B, which is an email message, could launch a browser activity, which is also included in task one. And the activities in the task are organized in a stack in the order in which each of the activities is opened. And this stack is called backstack. The owner of a task is determined in this case by activity A, which is the root activity of this task. And in this case, it's a Gmail task. And in the system, there are usually multiple tasks. And the one that is showing on top of the screen is called a foreground task. There's a system service called Activity Manager Service that is responsible for managing all the tasks and activities in the system. So the life cycle of Android tasks usually start from the launcher. So in this figure, the lower part shows the task state of the system, and the upper part shows the user screenshot. And initially, there's only one launcher task in the system. And when the user clicks the Gmail icon, then the inbox shows up. So under the hood, what happens is there's a Gmail task is created, enclosing one inbox activity, which is brought to the foreground. Then the user clicks email message again. Then what happens in task state is that there's a message activity pushed on top of the backstack of the Gmail task. The original inbox activity is suspended, and the state is resumed. It's sustained. So a nice feature about Android is that it provides this back button to allow users to go back to the history of activity user have interacted with. So when user click back, then the message popped from the back stack, and the original inbox activity is resumed. When the user click back again, then this inbox is popped from the stack, and the Gmail task is destroyed, such that user go back to the launcher task. So user can choose to go switch between different tasks by clicking the lower right button and go to this overview screen. And we can see that Android multitasking has greatly promoted user experience. For example, task switching, UI navigation, and it also allows developers to customize app behaviors. However, the security implication of Android multitasking remain to be under investigated. And in the heart of the problem, we have two major concerns. First, Android allows activity from different apps to reside in the same task. So essentially, it opens up opportunities for activity from different applications to interfere with one another when they are put into the same task. And secondly, Android offers developers great flexibility to customize app behaviors. For example, task creation, activity placement, or even customizing the back button pressing behavior. So with all these flexibilities, we were suspecting that if a malicious activity can sneak into a victim task and to achieve its malicious purpose by, for example, confusing the user or the system. It turns out that this is indeed possible, and Android multitasking is plagued by a serious security risk called task hijacking. Here's an example to to give you a flavor of what simple task hijack can achieve in the user spoofing attack. In this example, the user is trying to open up, intends to open up a PayPal application. However, instead of show up the PayPal app, a malicious fake PayPal activity controlled by the attacker shows up, and the PayPal account password then stolen by the attacker. The question is, how does the system show up the malware instead of the PayPal activity? So note that in this attack is very different from the well-studied inter-component communication problem, where the intent is sent to an undesirable party. But in here, it's achieved by task hijacking. If we take a closer look at the task state, then in the normal case, the PayPal attack should be created and brought to the foreground. However, in the attack case, where there's a malware task running in the background with two activities, M1 and M2. Note that this task can be created in advance, even without user interaction. So the attack happens when this PayPal task is created. And if we take a closer look at this PayPal task in S2 prime, we find an interesting fact that the M2, the malicious activity, has migrated from the malware task to the PayPal task. Now the question is, why does this M2 migrate? It turns out that Android provides a rich set of task control knobs to let developers customize task behaviors. Despite of the merits we have talked about, it also opens a new task surface. In this particular example, the malware can trick the system to relocate the malicious activity to the PayPal task by manipulating the following task control knobs: task affinity and allow task reparenting. So task affinity is an activity attribute defined in each activity tag in the manifest file. Like in this example, this application contains two activities, A and B, where B explicitly specifies its task affinity to a string. The task affinity can specify which task that the activity desires to join. And by default, all activities in the app have the same affinity. It means that all the activities are by default willing to join in the single task. And this task affinity is by default set to the app package name. Again, in this example, activity A, without explicitly setting the task affinity, has the package name as its task affinity. And B explicitly sets this task affinity to another string. In this case, A and B are more likely to put into different tasks in certain circumstances. But why is this useful? It is useful when developers want to group activity into different tasks. For example, the activities may have very different functionalities and developer intends to put the activity into different user session. And secondly, developers can also place activity defined in different apps within the single task. Allow task reparenting is another activity attribute, which is a few cases that can make a task affinity effective. And if it's set to true for, say, activity A, and when a task with the same affinity as A is brought to the foreground, then the system will move A from its original hosting task to this new foreground task. So by default, when the activity is created, it will stay on a task for its entire life. But this attribute breaks this restriction and allows activity to migrate in the middle of the life cycle. Now it's more clear how the malware can abuse the task control knob. So first, it sets the task affinity of activity M2 to the PayPal package name, and then it sets allow task reparenting to true. So under these circumstances, when the PayPal task is created, the M2 is relocated by the system from the malware to the PayPal. And note that during this process, although the PayPal is started, but the P1 activity is not brought onto the screen at all. And at this point in time, a cautious user may go to the overview screen and carefully examine if he or she is interacting with the real PayPal task. However, since M2 is already part of the PayPal, by only looking at the overview screen, the user can only be more convincing. And moreover, this malware can abuse some other control knobs to disappear or being absent from the overview screen in order to be more stealthy. So given this task, we want to fully understand this new threat and ask the following questions. How many types of task hijacking are there? How to craft the individual attacks? How to assess this vulnerability? And lastly, how to defend it? In order to answer the first question, we find that there are a rich set of task control knobs that can be abused by attacker. And they are classified into four categories: intent flag, activity attribute, callback function, and framework API. So intent flag is a flag attribute that can be set to intent to start activity. Compared with activity attribute, which is a more static way to define task behaviors, intent flag is more like a dynamic way. For example, if this new task flag is set, then the activity is more likely to be started in a new task instead of placing on some existing tasks. So we have in the activity attribute, we have talked about task affinity and allow task reparenting. And also this task mode is another way to define how this activity should be started, where to place it in a static way. In the callback function, there's an interesting callback called onBackPressed, which can override the back button clicking behavior. And also the framework API provides utility classes and function to start a predefined set of activities in a new task. So with all these complicated task control knobs, we want to understand the possibility of all task hijacking cases. To this end, we formalize the task dynamics as a state transition model and simulate as Android system with three applications only, two benign and one malicious. We then generate task state transition graph and flag the following alerts. First, a hijacked task state. It is a dangerous state that in which at least one task in the system will contain both malicious and benign activities. And secondly, a hijacking state transition is a transition that can lead to the system to a dangerous hijacked state. Here shows our result. So the left figure shows the task state transition of a subgraph of the task state transition. And each of the nodes in the graph indicates the task state, which is also visualized on the right. So the red nodes indicate the dangerous hijack state, and the right arrows indicate those hijacking state transition, also known as HSTs, that leads the system to the hijack state. So we observe two types of HSTs. Either the malware activity find ways to move into the benign app task, or the benign activity is tricked by the malware and is placed into the malware task. We also find that once these HSTs are exploited, they could result in highly practical and serious real-world attacks. By exploiting these HSTs, we implement six proof-of-concept attacks, and we surprisingly find that these attacks can cover the wide spectrum of attack space, ranging from user spoofing to denial of service and to user monitoring. So the consequences are severe. For example, sensitive information stolen in a phishing attack, user access restriction by a ransomware, or user privacy infringement by a spyware. And it turns out that task hijacking attacks can affect almost all Android versions and all applications, including those most privileged system apps. So task hijacking roots from the unique design of Android task and also the overly flexible task control knobs. So before defense, we would like to first understand the use of these security-sensitive task control knobs in real implementations. So to this end, we analyzed 6.8 million apps from Google Play and all other and other 12 popular third-party app markets. This table shows a percentage of application that use each of these task control knobs. As we can see that a bulk of these control knobs are extremely popular with developers and users. For instance, more than a quarter of these applications use non-default launch mode. And intent flags are heavily used in majority of applications. And also, almost two-thirds of the application will customize the back button clicking behavior. So given this pervasive use of task control knobs, for defense, simply disable these features will hurt user experience and the app functionalities. And we have two alternative ways to do this. First, to defend. So first is we can be proactive and detect the task hijacking in the app review process. However, specifying a guideline in the app review balancing the security and features is non-trivial, partly because it is difficult to distinguish the legitimate use of task features from those with malicious intention. So here is an example of a phone call dialer application. And by specifying the task affinity the same as this dialer app, a voice recorder application can show up an array of control buttons on top of the dialer application, and such that the user can control this voice recording functionality of this app. However, technically speaking, this voice recording application has already interfered with the GUI integrity of the dialer application, and it's hard for the app review process to distinguish if this is benign or malicious purpose. And another challenge is it is hard to detect the stealthy dynamic behavior of advanced malware in the app review process. For example, dynamic code loading. Another alternative for defense is to enhance the security of multitasking mechanism by introducing additional security features for Android task. For example, we can introduce a Boolean activity attribute which can control if an app allows other applications to specify the same task affinity as itself. If not, then the system will not blindly relocate some alien activity to the current task, even the alien activity desired to do so. So I would like to end my talk with two proof of concept attack demos. So for other attack cases and how these attacks are achieved, please refer to our paper. So the first attack is a phishing attack that can steal user's Citibank account and password. And the goal here is similar with the another attack we have seen, but with different approaches. So for demo purpose, I will first manually start this malware. It shows up just a normal activity. And in reality, this malware can be highly stealthy. If we look at the overview screen, it's not there. But that's already in the background. Now the user opened up the Citibank application. And before the user sign on to his account, the user may be interested to first take a look at a nice tutorial video about how to use this banking application. So the user go ahead and click this link and choose a pre-installed legitimate video player on the system to play this video. So after finishing viewing this video, the user click back button to go back to the original activity. However, this back button has redirected the user to a phishing activity controlled by the attacker. Then the user ID and password are then stolen. After this, the malware simply quit and shows up a login failure alert. And here shows the user name and password is stolen. So the second demo, I will show you a denial service attack that will disable app uninstallation on the system. So similarly, I will manually start a malware. And after this, there's no application can be uninstalled from this device. And user can find different ways to uninstall an app. For example, go to the setting, find the app you want to install, and click the uninstall button. At this point in time, there's a malicious activity shows up immediately, which blocks the underlying system confirmation dialog for user to uninstall that application, such that the user have no way to uninstall the application. When user click back button, then this activity may redirect the user to the launcher, and all the previous setting activities are killed. User may find different ways, for example, dragging the icons, and finally, the frustrated user may resort to the help of antivirus software and uninstall this this application. So similarly, this operation is also prohibited. So note that this malware can be easily extended to a ransomware that can disable user access to any applications that the attacker specify. So with that, I would like to thank you all, and a moment to questions.
Hi, I'm a person from University of Michigan. So you were mentioning that so this vulnerability can work in almost all Android systems. So I just want to know, is there any system that this cannot work in, and why?
It's a question, is there any system that task hijacking?
The Android version.
Okay, so task hijacking covers a wide variety of attacks. So as far as I know, that most latest, including Android M, is affected by this vulnerability as well. But regarding particular application, it depends on what kind of attack vectors that the attacker used.
It's not OS dependent, I guess.
It's not totally OS dependent. Yes, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Sure.
So did you also find real-world applications that abuse this feature, so real-world malware?
Oh, I think that's a good question. Right, so we have not found the obvious evidence that the current malware are abusing these task control knobs. Although, as we have seen in the dialer app, phone call dialer example, that this phone call recorder is actually interfering with the GUI of the dialer. But it's just one step to be a malware. If a malware can interfere with the GUI, a malware can do so. But we don't have evidence that the malware, current malware, is doing this.
And are you in contact with the Android developers in order to fix this problem, or do you think that this is something that cannot be easily fixed in practice, as you discussed in your talk?
I would say, since this is a system feature, it is hard for developer's perspective to defend it completely. But if a developer really concerned about the vulnerability, the developer can basically check frequently how their task looks like during their app running process. That's one way I could think about. And also, developer can, I mean, for the antivirus, software can do similar things to check if any task might be hijacking by a malicious software. Yeah.
So you had this example with Lookout, but can Lookout also stop running tasks in order to basically stop this activity from preventing the uninstallation process?
For now, I don't think, to my knowledge, I don't think Lookout for now can stop activity from running if it doesn't have any permissions. But at least it can show some alerts to the user that this task might be hijacked by malware or some abnormal situations. Yeah.
Okay, so if there are no other questions, I think we can thank the speaker again, and then we have the second talk in the session.
All right, thank you.